There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, brand new week to work with. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. And I appreciate all the interaction on the text line and on the Twitter feed. And remember, if you don't catch an episode of the show live, it's okay. We podcast this show and many other shows here. 40 hours a week of live local programming we're doing right here at a hometown-owned, hometown-broadcasted, hometown-facility radio station. And those podcasts go up as, an hour or so after they happen. So you can go to fmtalk1065.com, click the link for podcast, and a la carte, get the shows you want. Or you can subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher or a lot of other platforms to have those shows delivered to your smartphone. So check that out. Oh, speaking of smartphones, this is weird. I want to see if I can get the story and link it through, Dalton. If I can get a picture of this thing, I'll put it on the Twitter feed, or if we get it on Facebook. So the Consumer Electronics Show is kicking off, I think, tomorrow out in Vegas, their big expo. And one of the reports coming in is a smartphone. Okay, so you had flip phones for a while, and then, of course, we went to the slab-style smartphone that most of us use now. How about a smartphone that has the same screen size or even bigger that would be thinner? Although, at a certain point, you know what's going to determine the size of smartphones, keep them from getting any bigger? The size, at least for men, and ladies that wear wearing pants too, the pocket size, the size of a pocket. If they get the smartphone so big that you can't get it in your pocket, then that'll be the limiting factor. Either the pants manufacturers will have to start making bigger pockets, or that will cap the size of a smartphone. But at this Consumer Electronics Expo, they are rolling out a foldable smartphone. It looks like a regular screen, like a big smartphone screen, but you take it and you fold it so that it's not glass. It's some kind of polymer or something that you can fold. So you got the regular, you know, big screen. There you are doing your things, typing a text or whatever. And then when you go to put it in your pocket, you just fold it over like a taco, like soft taco, not like one of the Ortega like a soft taco. You just fold it over like a hot dog bun. Just fold it over. You want it, like when you see it, you're like, oh gosh, that's going to break. It's going to, and it doesn't. I don't know. That's something that's out there. So you can get those podcasts delivered to your smartphone, whether it folds over or not. Depending on how big it is, you may need that. All right, on today's show, coming up, Brendan Kirby's going to join us in hour number two of the show. Joining us here in just a couple minutes, Congressman Bradley Byrne, to talk about a whole bunch here and what's going on and not going on in Washington. Of course, you have the partial government shutdown, but that is not Congress, as they are up there lobbying rhetoric on both sides. And we're day 17 of the shutdown. We'll talk to him about that. Also, the negotiation over the wall. Does he see some gray area where the negotiation could happen? We'll get into that. Also, speaking of what's going on with Washington, I just got a note here. Tweet from Sarah Sanders, press secretary for the president, said President Trump will travel to the southern border on Thursday to meet with those on the front lines of the national security and humanitarian crisis. More details will be announced soon. So this is Thursday, President Trump heading to the U.S.-Mexico border, highlighting border security. So that will be, of course, part of this all-on push here to figure out, will they be able to find some common ground? Once again, I'll ask this of the congressman, too, coming up in just a second. In the past, in negotiations, there's been a gray area. They probably haven't even detailed before a discussion starts, and then they find the compromise somewhere in between the two extremes. In this, with what the Democrats have been saying about the immorality of a wall, and President Trump saying it's either the $5 billion, $5.7 billion to build the border wall or continued shutdown of the government, I don't know where the negotiation. I mean, there is some discussion from the president. It could be the steel slats versus concrete. Although he came out and said, what, just earlier that it would cost more, but steel slats versus concrete, but still some sort of physical barrier. And you have, you know, I don't think the Democrats can turn around and say, well, we said the concrete wall was immoral, but steel slats are not. So how do they work through that? We'll talk about that with the congressman coming up next. And also coming back after 12:35, we'll talk to you. Get your comments on this at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also coming up in hour number two, we'll update you more. And I know the folks from News 5 will as well on that fatal accident last night on the Bayway. Somebody traveling westbound in the eastbound lanes. Scary stuff, and more on that story coming up in just a little bit. All right, coming right back, Congressman Bradley Byrne right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday, and I want to check in with AL1's Congressman, Congressman Bradley Byrne, joining us now by phone from Washington. Thanks for your time.
Good to be with you, Sean. Brave new world in Washington, D.C.
Yes, understatement as, well, some of the stories that were carryovers from before the new Congress are now, you're dealing with this as a minority. The Republicans are a minority in the House.
That's right. It's I've described it to people as being like through the looking glass. Everything that was one way is a completely different way. Everything that was upside right is now downside down. It's just crazy. So we're dealing with some people that have completely different understandings of reality from you and me.
How do you address that when you deal with that and you're sitting there and you're hearing from fellow members of the House things that you find completely erroneous, incorrect? I mean, do you just sit and cross your arms, or do you try to lobby them to think your way? What's that process like?
Well, last week, you know, being the first week, there wasn't a whole lot of discussion back and forth. There were some things said that I strongly disagreed with, but there really wasn't an opportunity for me to be able to engage in any sort of meaningful dialogue. Although I did have some side conversations with some of my older friends in the Democratic Conference, and they're worried because some of the newer members they're concerned are really going to make them, and already are making them, look bad, and they don't like the way they've gotten off to a bad start. Certainly the woman from Detroit who had the inappropriate comment about the president has caused them a lot of trouble, but she's not the only one, and they've got ideas that they're pushing out there that are just way off the chart.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. I have a little trouble hearing you there on that line. So, you're talking about from the 13th congressional district in Michigan. Now, I talked about that last week about the language. And listen, the game is played that President Trump says, you know, curse words too. So, what does it matter? And I'm scared that we're getting distracted by whether it is Rashida Tlaib saying impeach the blankety blank, or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dancing on a rooftop in college. To me, those seem to be the tennis balls people are chasing, when in reality, we have people that are to the left of Nancy Pelosi. We have people that are that far left that it was, to them, Nancy Pelosi, which folks back here in AL1, a lot of conservatives think she's, you know, the far end of the liberal spectrum, but in reality, she has people giving her pressure further left than she is.
Oh, no, there's a question about it. I mean, they call themselves socialists. Sometimes they call themselves progressive socialists or Democrat socialists, but they are socialists. They want to take over all of health care and put it under the government. They want to tax everybody to the max in order to pay for everything from their new green energy plan to this idea that everybody gets to go to college for free. And they are totally devoid of being grounded in facts. I mean, they just push on with things that are not grounded in even science. This idea that we can become, by 2030, completely free of carbon-based fuels and still be able to power America is truly crazy, because there is no science that says we can do that in that time frame. So, yeah, I mean, there are people far to the left of Nancy Pelosi, which is hard to believe, but they are, and they're pulling Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, all the rest of them, pulling them even further to the left. So that's a problem for the Democrats, because I don't think that's going to play well in 2020.
Well, and that's it's good to hear you say that, because that was my issue last week when it was, I'm with you. I mean, it's kind of shocking to hear, impeach the blankety blank, but I said, that's not the big deal. Listen, today, sadly, the rhetoric has been taken to the gutter a lot of times, but let's look at the policies of these people, what they're, quit with the worrying about what they did in college or whatever they said the other day, and look at what they're pushing, and realize they had enough power at least to scare Nancy Pelosi in the process of, I mean, it was still probably a sure thing that she was going to be speaker, but enough to scare her, and it tells me that there's at least some traction to, like you said, to the left of Nancy Pelosi. Wow.
No question about it. No question about it. Now, there are forces within the Democratic Conference that are trying to pull them a little bit further back, but I think that they're losing the battle. And the fact that we had all these things happen last week and almost nothing was done about them tells you that they're scared. I mean, they're scared that if they go against these very far, far left people, that will hurt them in their own primaries next year. So they've got some real problems over there. Now, it's incumbent upon Republicans to continue to uphold conservative principles, and it's incumbent upon us to call them out when they say and do things that are not appropriate or we disagree with. On the other hand, there also this is a part of me that says, let's not be too fast about that. Let's let them go out there and hang them own selves with the things that they're saying and proposing, because I think they really are in jeopardizing their ability to be successful in 2020.
Now, you said the other day, you wrote that keeping our borders secure should not be a political partisan issue. You'll continue to advocate for stronger national security, and I will continue to stand with President Trump to keep the American people safe. All right, so keeping borders secure. Now, you'll hear some people say, well, everybody's for border security. It's just the wall thing. So, I mean, explain where you stand on that.
Well, border security is border security. It's national security. It's personal security. And we should do everything that we reasonably can do in order to make sure that we have border security. That includes a barrier, whether you call it a concrete wall or a steel fence. The president's now talking about steel. Doesn't really matter. There needs to be a barrier there that's an effective barrier. But the barrier itself is just one component of a number of things you need to do. You need to have more personnel down there with Customs and Border Patrol agency. We need to have better technology down there. We need to layer all of this stuff on it, and we need to have better laws in order to deal with these people. I mean, the fact that we can have these folks that are deported and come back and kill police officers and rape young women up in Shelby County, that should tell us that we don't have an adequate legal system in place. So we've got to do all of these things. Now, I hear Democrats say we're all for border security, and my reaction to that is, show me. Don't just say it. Show me. Show me about what you're willing to vote for, what money you're willing to put into the program. Because if you're not willing to vote for it, you're not willing to put the money in the program, then you're really not for border security.
Well, okay, but that begs a question. Is this about, you said money, and, I've been saying for a couple weeks here, even if a gigantic Publishers Clearing House $5 billion check showed up at Treasury to pay for the wall, I have a pretty strong conviction that the Democrats wouldn't then say, okay, let's go ahead with the wall. So it's not about money.
Well, it's not about money because it's about the symbol to them. Yeah. To them, the wall says to people that they're trying to get on their side politically, hey, we're not going to be able to get you in the country so you can vote for us. The truth of the matter is that this is as much about the Democrats trying to get more votes for them in the future as it is anything else. You're right. I think you could give them all the money in the world, they'd still be against it. But at the end of the day, I still think the vast majority of the people in America want true border security, because they see the dangers to them personally if we don't have true border security, And I think it's incumbent upon those of us on my side of the aisle to keep pushing this issue and to stand with President Trump. And I think we're having the effect we need to have.
Yeah, I hope so, because it seems like on the outset that the middle ground, the gray in which compromise and negotiation happens, has been shrunk, if not eliminated, meaning the rhetoric has painted both sides into the proverbial corners. President Trump saying specifically he's going to keep it shut down, government shut down until he gets that $5 billion plus for border security. And then you have Nancy Pelosi in so many words saying what $1 or more would be immoral. I mean, if you say funding for the wall is immoral, then you really can't get in a semantic argument. Is it $5 billion? Is it $1.6 billion? Is it $3 billion? If it's immoral, it's immoral. So I don't know where the two sides meet and negotiate here, Congressman.
Well, you negotiate over the stuff that matters to both sides. There's stuff that matters to them. There's stuff that matters to us. You figure out a way to come together on enough things that matter to both of us where you get a compromise. And I think there's a group, as you know, that's been meeting over there at the White House with Vice President Pence sort of presiding. And my understanding is some of those discussions actually have gone okay. They've not been enough to get us to a solution, but they've been going okay. Now, the latest request from the Democrats is, well, show us what your needs are. Show us where you have a deficiency, where there's a need. Well, that should be pretty easy for the Department of Homeland Security to provide that information in pretty significant detail. So if they're serious about it, they're going to see some things, which they should already know, by the way, but they're going to see some things that tell them, yes, we've got to provide some funding there. Now, how much longer Nancy's got to posture now that she's finally gotten her vote to be Speaker, I don't know. And how much longer Schumer's got to sit over there and play whatever game he's got to play with his group, I don't know that either. But the president's shown, I think, a remarkable amount of flexibility. So I really think the inflexibility here seems to me to be coming from the Democratic side, not from the president.
Oh, and let's talk about the fact that we are in, I think, day 17 of this semi-shutdown here at the federal level. What do you tell federal workers that live back here in AL1 that aren't getting a check? What's your message to them?
That we're working hard to get an agreement, that an agreement's important to everybody, Democrat and Republican. And we need to continue to work on that. We need to be open to discussion. We need to keep talking until we get a deal. We have heard from a number of people who are federal employees in this area, particularly from people in the Coast Guard. You know how important the Coast Guard is to this area. And I do understand the importance of making sure that we get this done so that they get paid on time, and so that they have the other resources they need in order to do their job, which is so very important. So, and I hope that congressmen around the country are hearing that, so that pressure builds on both sides for us to get to an agreement, because, as I said earlier, the president's shown a lot of flexibility, a lot of willingness to talk through things. We've got to get the Democrats to the point where they understand they can't just say no. They've got to figure out a way to get to yes.
And I'm wondering what that looks like, where both sides sign on, because, I mean, once again, the rhetoric has been, and use the pun intentionally, pretty concrete in its language here. And I just wonder when both sides can find something that leads them to save face but gets a deal done.
Yeah, well, that happens in Washington. And sometimes people will declare victory when they don't really have a victory, but that's okay. Let them declare victory. I don't care. Let's get a result that makes sense and move on. And I've told the president's people that this is his issue. He knows about this. He cares about this. He's staked his position out on it. And I'm going to support the president. If he gets to a negotiated result that he thinks works, then I'm going to be very strongly inclined to support him on it.
All right. A couple things before we run, because I want to, and they're right in my wheelhouse, and looking on Twitter as you were signing the balanced budget amendment at the start of the new Congress. Talk to me about this, because, you know, this is my bread and butter, Congressman.
Yes, sir. No, well, we have either sponsored or co-sponsored a balanced budget amendment every Congress since I've been there.
So what happens?
We wanted to do it the very first day, and so the very first day of this Congress, we put our bill in there. Now, I know that the Democrats are not going to pass a balanced budget amendment out of the House. I understand that. But we've got to continue to push that out there, because the time is growing short for us to be able to deal with this problem in a way to where it's not overly painful for the American people. Because if we don't deal with it, the only solutions out there are going to be very painful to American people, and I want to avoid that if we can.
You know, every time I talk about this and I talk about the debt and what I feel is fiscal irresponsibility, I basically, by so many, get patted on the head and say, there, I just don't get it. I must be too simple in a three-dimensional chess world of finance, everything's fine. But to a small business owner and just a regular guy back here in Alabama, it seems like it's both sides. I mean, the emperor has no clothes here.
Well, at the end of the day, the international financial markets are only going to go so far in lending the United States government money to run the country. At some point, they're going to say, we've loaned you enough already. You're going to have to start getting your house in order, and that will force us to make decisions which, as more time goes by, will be decisions that are even more painful for the American people. So we're better off facing out this problem now and not waiting. And I've actually, as you know, I've got some solutions I've put out there, and I'm probably going to introduce some of those solutions in this Congress as well. Take the mandatory spending, and mandatory spending is two-thirds of federal outlays. Take the mandatory spending that's not Social Security, that's not Medicare, and that's not TRICARE, and make it discretionary. That's $1.2 trillion a year. Let's put that as discretionary money and start making the right decisions about it. Do we need to spend that money? Do we need to spend that much money? If we'll start doing things like that and taking responsibility as a Congress for what needs to happen with federal spending, we can solve this problem. But the longer we wait, the worse it gets.
I do worry, and this is just a cynical take on it, but if the one-third left causes so much angst and divisiveness inside the Congress, if you have the whole Megillah to look at, is it going to take another 66% longer to get any agreement?
Well, actually, no. I think that by having only one-third available to be appropriated by the Congress, I think it actually puts an awful lot of pressure on that one-third, half of which is national defense, by the way. And we know where we are in national defense. We know we can't cut that. So we're really putting all the pressure on basically one-sixth of federal outlays. That's not very smart, and I think it actually creates more political problems for us and less. Hey, you know, some of these things that we've got in mandatory spending, anybody looking at it would say, why is that mandatory? Why is taking care of the wild horses on Chincoteague Island a mandatory expenditure? Not saying we shouldn't spend money on it, but why is it mandatory? Why can't we look at it and ask questions about a better way to do it, a more cost-effective way to do it? By taking it off the table, we actually put more political pressure on ourselves and don't give us the options we need available to us to make the decisions that have to be made to balance the budget.
Next time you have some expendable hour and you're back here in AL1, come by the studio and let's talk about the 1976 Wild Horse and Burro Act and what it means for taxpayers. That's like a pet peeve of mine, but I could rant for hours on that one. Okay, before we let you go, and I know it's busy up there, but I got to ask you. So 7 o'clock tonight, back here at home, it's the football game, and I saw here that you are. Wagering is not legal back here in Alabama, Congressman Byrne, but you're wagering with Joe Cunningham out of Carolina?
Yeah, he wants me to give him a six-pack of Alabama beer if Clemson wins, and he's agreed to give me a six-pack of South Carolina beer if Alabama wins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm researching South Carolina beer to see which one I want.
Yeah, I would go ahead and get that order in and tell him just Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
All right. Congressman, thank you for your time, and we'll check back with you very soon watching you on Twitter. If somebody wants to keep up with you there, how do they find you?
Go on my Twitter handle. The best way to get in touch with me on everything is to go on my website, burn.house.gov. That has everything, Facebook, Twitter, everything on it.
All feeds in one. Thank you, Congressman. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:37 FM Talk 106.5. Thank you to Congressman Byrne. Check it in from Washington. Not alone. Just can say a lot. Does it get things done? I don't approach things just trying to be cynical. I'd love for you to call in, tell me why I shouldn't be. Well, I shouldn't be. 343-0106. 343-0106. But just looking at the both sides here, let's just look at it pragmatically, okay, at first. Then we can go idealistically. You support the president, you support the wall idea, or you think the wall is an immoral idea, or whatever's been rolled out for the Democrats there. Where have they left themselves negotiation room where they will save face? And is that issue, you know, it used to be that the shutdown would be on the shoulders of one party or the other, right? Either the Schumer shutdown or the Trump shutdown. And then the heat would be turned up politically, the stories of people not getting their checks and government things not working, and here's the overflowing toilet at Great Smoky Mountains National Park or whatever it is, and then somebody would capitulate. But often, there was room for negotiation for one to get something and other side to get something else, right, in this negotiation. But it's not just President Trump. It seems like, you know, mainstream media will make it seem like President Trump's the only person that has put down this solid line of not negotiating. But what have the Democrats done, saying that the wall is immoral? They've done as well. I don't know. That's what I was trying to pick the brain of the congressman, trying to figure out where that middle ground is, saying that they're going to negotiate. It's all well and good, but in a galvanized political time where we're split, which I think is leading to this, where people see it's tribalistic, right? My side's got to win. To heck with everything else. My side, my team has got to win. And I think some people just sign on for whatever they think their team wants them to do. Some sign on because they think it's the right direction for this nation. But where's the negotiation? Do you think that all of a sudden Nancy Pelosi, fresh in there, is going to say, oh, well, yeah, now we're going to finance it. I know I said it was immoral the other day, but now we're going to finance it. And do you think all of a sudden President Trump's going to say, well, now we'll get some drones and some other things and that'll be fine? No, neither side's going to do that. So where do they meet on this? All right, take your calls. 343-0106, 343-0106. First up, Kevin in Mobile. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, enjoying the topic here. You know, it's real simple. Building the wall shouldn't cost the taxpayers anything. We could go ahead and we could use the prisoners that are serving time right there and take them, go out there, build the wall, give them some time off their sentences right there. They'd end up being a master masonry when they got out there, a brick mason. So, but the thing is that the Democrats, every one of those people have got security. They've got a wall around their house. And the thing is, it's an oxymoron right there. It's good for the goose, but not for the gander. All we're doing is we're protecting all U.S. citizens, Republicans, Democrats, Independents. We're protecting everybody. And you have to have protection for this nation to keep us a sovereign world leader. It's just real simple. So it's not pulling politics, Republican or Democrat. It's protecting the American citizens. That should be their number one priority.
Well, and I wonder how many different parts of the spectrum there are. Okay, if you line up people that are for the wall, people that are against the wall, are they all monolithic in how they picture this? Meaning, you know, if you had somebody who was saying they're against the wall, but they're, you hear the Democrats say, but we're for border security, are they for the same net effect? Is it an argument between how to best keep illegal immigrants out of the country? Is that the best, you know, if that is, then you could, I think you can sit down and have a negotiation and say, man, I know y'all say it's this, but we say it's this. Let's get some experts in. Here's why we think it's a wall, and here's why y'all think it's a drone. And at that point, you can negotiate, right? But if one person says anything on the wall, any structure or on the border, wall or fence, or even though there is some fencing right now, is immoral, how do you negotiate with that? I mean, where's it like this.
If somebody was to go and break into their house, they would be arrested, whether they had a wall or a door or a lock. So what's the difference right there? You're protecting the privacy of your family if you have a lock or a security system, and I guarantee you every one of those have that. Plus, they've got armed security with guns as well. So the thing is, if you're there protecting the American people, you're also protecting your family as well. So whether they put a physical fence, a barrier, there needs to be some type of protection there. Either bring the National Guard in, because we are being invaded by people of foreign descent right there. And their job is to protect from all terrorists, you know, foreign and domestic. So they need to do their job.
Well, you're not assuming that everybody coming across the border is a terrorist, Kevin.
No, we wouldn't assume that, but they're entering here illegally. If you or I tried to go to Mexico, other than the proper
I get that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I appreciate the call, but I mean, it's the question. Let's look at the terrorism issue. I believe it is a concern as well. I don't know that should be the overall concern, since the bigger issue, the more people will be coming in for economic reasons. And that, and you know, that's one of the questions too that I wonder about. For those that would say, yeah, I don't want any wall. I don't want any border security. We don't need this border security. You know, I last week, I think it was, talking about the idea of osmosis, right? Or the evening out of anything. The things that are, if you have something that is hot and something that is cold, and they're next to each other, and there's a porous border, a porous connection between the two, they will both become warm, right? If you have something that is wet and something that is dry, and you don't have some kind of barrier that is watertight between the two, then the dry thing will become moist and the wet thing will become moist. They'll even out. That is the situation on a border. If you do not have, if you look at it from economic side, and not to discount, there's a and that's the way the president will go with the national security component. But let's just talk about the raw economics of it and the reason why people cross a border. Why aren't we crossing other borders? Why do you not have the issue between Canada and the United States with the border crossing? Not saying it doesn't happen at all, but why do you, it's because they are closer to the same kind of economy. So if you would say, if you had an open border between the two, or a semi-porous border, like instead of a wall, it would be a fishnet stocking kind of border between the two, what happens? Well, if you want to look at this just completely in a vacuum as a science experiment, it would only stop the migration of people from Mexico or Central America through Mexico, but people across the border would only stop when the economy is no better on the north side of the border than it is on the south side, right? That is the net effect. If you do not control migration of people, illegal immigration, and people would argue unbridled legal immigration, but I think that's a whole other subject. I think you can actually do a lot more with legal immigration. I think we should be working on that. But if you don't have any check at that border, what happens? Just the same way the wet thing next to the dry thing both become moist, the hot thing next to the cold thing both become warm or lukewarm. That's what happens on the border. If you sat back and didn't control anything, then through immigration, through economic reasons, it would eventually have the economy, the standard of living, the same on both sides of this imaginary border. If you're okay with that, that's fine. But you know what has to happen in that? It doesn't. Now, I would love a situation where we could do something to have the economy of Mexico be as strong, the standard of living for Mexico be as strong as U.S. standard of living, and then the impetus and the desire to cross the border wouldn't be there. People would stay at home, not have a reason to go seek a better life. But as it stands now, the U.S. side of the border has the better situation. So until that is even with what is south of the border, the migration of human beings will be attempted and will continue and continue. Now, do you stem that? Do you just open the border completely? I mean, if it's immoral, is the moral obligation of this country to make sure that our standard of living comes down to meet Mexico's? Or could we say it'd be better for Mexico's standard of living to come up to meet ours? I mean, which one is it? 343-0106. I'll talk to you next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1251, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Monday style. Digits, phone number, text line 343-0106. I heard the update there from our news partners at WKRG. So Alabama lawmakers are debating the possibility of a gasoline tax increase, and governor addressing that as well. That would be new news to you unless you listen to FM Talk 106.5, right? We've been talking about that for months and months and months. That's one of the, what I say, the three biggies we'll see in session this year. They're going to talk about the gas tax, they're going to talk about the lottery, and Medicaid expansion. Those three big ones, and probably some unforeseen wrinkles coming our way as well. All right, from the Facebook page, Chance says, the wall is nothing more than a political football. The government $5 billion a year on nothing at all with no issues. They don't want Trump to go into 2020 being able to say he delivered on the wall campaign promise. It's all about keeping him from delivering on the keystone of his campaign. Sure. Sure. I mean, that it boils down to that's why I want to strip away each time. You can agree or disagree with the wall, but when the discussion comes up that it's about the money, I wish it was about the money. Oh, how I do wish they worried about $5 billion here and $5 billion there. But that's not a big deal in Washington. So don't get, I mean, you could still kind of have the idealistic debate, but don't get hung up in the fact that it's about money, because it's not. Once again, wish it was, but it's not. Also, we'll get to this. Somebody asking, what about that cane stick, the cane story? Well, just quickly, I mean, a story out about an elderly woman charged in the death of her 89-year-old husband, beat the guy with a cane, killing her husband with a cane. I don't know if it was any kind of specialty cane or something like that. It just says a cane here. And we'll get to that in a second, though. I want to go to the phones, and Thomas and Theodore up next. Hey, Thomas.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thank you for having me on. It was an interesting discussion with Bradley Byrne. But I do recall just a couple of quick things here. Bradley Byrne saying last week that this is a fight. This is a good fight. We should fight these good fights and to keep it shut down, which is amazing to me. And then for him to say to take Social Security and put it in a discretionary column, oh, my God. Gosh, when they do that, the money disappears. You have to earmark it with these people. They're dishonest, they're corrupt, and I'd hate to see us do it in the state. Another thing, Cortez, she's a radical. She has no idea what she's talking about. She's young, and I don't think she and a couple of other lefties that are radical, as Bradley says, is gonna upset the Democrats. And my big question to you today, John, is how come they waited so long to work on the wall? They had 2 years. All three
great branches
of government.
Great question. A solid question. You know, they're going to push hard for it now. They couldn't get it done when they controlled the House, and now they're full on. Absolutely solid question. I have no answer for it, Thomas. I don't. And how they think they're going to get it done now when they couldn't get it done before, I don't know. That's why I'm saying they have painted both sides. The president, the Republicans, and the Democrats have painted themselves into a corner. I don't know where the negotiation will take place. Thanks for the call. I do want to, where's that? By the way, Brendan Kirby is going to join us coming up after the top of the hour news break. But somebody had just asked, oh, there it is. Okay. Somebody's asking about the Wild Horse and Burro Act of 76, preferring to be asking about that in the we will have a show on this. And I know somebody out there on Twitter, Pat, is disagreeing with me. That's fine, Pat. We will have a discussion of that down the road when we can. Maybe we'll get a down day in the news cycle, and we can talk about it. All right. Texter says what we need is no paycheck for nobody in Congress. They just waste our money. Well, you know, there was a little angle of that the other day. This is interesting. So here will be one of these things that how do you spin this? How do you spin it if you are completely locked into partisan politics? How do you spin this? Because you had a situation where the other day, I think it was Friday during the presser, or the president's comments before he headed to Camp David, they said something to the effect of, hey, we're in government shutdown. We're going to have another pay period that federal workers won't get their check. At the same time, cabinet positions, I think it was cabinet positions, were looking at a $10,000 raise or something to that effect. So how do you let that happen while we're in a shutdown? Well, you know, in the past, Democrats or Republican, they would have said, well, there's this or that reason, or we'll get back to you on this or that. Here's Donald Trump. Here's President Donald Trump says, I'm going to look into that. And just within a couple hours of that question from a member of the media, they came out with a ban. They furloughed the raises for the cabinet heads. Thought that was interesting. Pretty quick reaction there. Just a question from a presser. You could either see that as a good thing or a bad thing that the president moves that quickly on something. But yeah, it was brought to his attention by a reporter that while the shutdown was going on, members of the cabinet were due a raise. And President Trump said, mm-mm, no way. All right. Gamecock Girl says 2 years and no wall. Why? In two words, Paul Ryan. All right. Yeah, and people who want to talk football trash with Brendan, y'all can do it coming up after the top of the hour. Now people are coming up with suggestions of why this lady beat her husband with a cane. We'll get into that, but I mean, this story that you hear it on our news update from KRG, this woman beat her husband. What was in that cane? Was it one of those like James Bond canes that had a sword in it or something like that? Wasn't that James Bond? And also, speaking of the president, this is bouncing around here. Vox has something about it. I think Red State had something about it. Don't know that there's been anything official from the White House yet, but it says President Trump from Vox, or no, sorry, from Axios, said President Trump wants to address the nation on Tuesday regarding the ongoing partial government shutdown. This, according to a report from the New York Times, before a visit to the U.S.-Mexico border on Thursday. Now, we announced that at the beginning of the show, Sarah Sanders putting that out, said that the president would, they're saying right now, so officially the president's going to the border on Thursday. The rumor mill is the president wants to do a primetime address tomorrow night and looking for, I guess, the networks to whether they have the time or whatever can make that happen. So the president could have a speech, a little presser tomorrow evening before Thursday's visit to the border. Does that mean there's some movement here on the negotiation, or is it just more doubling down on his points? I don't know. We'll let you know when the ink is dry on that. Coming back, Brendan Kirby joins us right here on Midday Mobile.